Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're actually on time for once.
Oh,
ladies
gosh.
And gentlemen, welcome back to the Lore Lodge. I'm hoping you can all actually hear me, but we have zero viewers in the queue, so we're just going to hang out for a second, I suppose.
is that the point of the stream is starting screen?
Yeah, essentially.
To let people...
I was trying to see what would happen if I set it up in advance. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. Still no viewers, though. Oh, no, we got eight. Look at that. It's just lagging. I love Streamlabs. Anyway, for the eight of you that are here, welcome back to the Lore Lodge. As you can see, Aiden did not suddenly become a female. He is just away on business dealings in another state. I don't know exactly what he's doing, but...
He didn't tell me.
Well, I would assume so. But anyway, Kat's with me now. and also Archie. He's having the time of his life.
Really, it's Archie that's replacing Aiden here.
Yeah,
I'm just a seat for Archie and to provide pets.
Guess who in the building? Oh, it's Canadian Jesus. What do you know? So, as the title of the show suggests, tonight's topic is going to be Freemasonry. I might have an extra long Q&A on this one and just start that earlier rather than going to it towards the end of the show. I'm also trying to decide whether or not I should turn the microphone volume up. I don't know how well you guys can hear me, but, we'll see. If there are any problems with the stream, as usual, please let me know. But, this is going to be a good one, because I actually sat down and reread some stuff and went through some research, and there were some amazing stories associated with Freemasonry, involving, like, all of the attempts to shut it down, to... defame it and to make it into something it's not. So we're gonna dive into that, and I'm gonna start off by first of all thanking Kat for actually doing some research on the topic. I asked her like an hour and a half ago if she could come and fill in, and she showed up asking me questions I didn't know the answers to.
I am just a researcher. It's what I do. It's what I like. I like to have facts. So I'm really excited to talk about this. This is actually like a super interesting topic to me personally. Yeah, it's fascinating. Ever since I first watched National Treasure and fell in love with Nick Cage, I've just been just so interested in Freemasonry. So.
And the funny part is, I remember when I joined, that was the question that they asked. They were like, so what got you interested in Freemasonry? And this was...
And you said Nicolas Cage.
No, no. So, this was probably April 2020. So the world had just shut down.
Yeah.
I was graduating college. I didn't really know what I was going to do with my free time. And I called and I asked. And it took about a year for me to actually get through the process of becoming a Mason because the lodges were all shut down.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first things they asked, that they do a preliminary meeting with you to try and figure everything out. You know, why do you want to be a Mason and whatnot? And, they were like, oh, so what got you interested? And I went, I'm going to be perfectly honest, as the pandemic was, like, starting, my friends and I were sitting in my living room watching National Treasure, and I noticed all the Masonic symbolism, and I was like, you know what, I'm curious, I want to know what this is about. And so I sent an email to my local lodge, and they got back to me, and, you know, a year later, I was doing all the initiation stuff, which is certainly... certainly an experience, but one that afterwards you're like, oh, that was actually all really cool. But like, it's one of those, and even the people I was joining, like the people who were in charge of getting me through the process,
mm-hmm.
they were like, this may all seem weird and confusing like now, but after you become a Master Mason, like it'll all make sense. It all suddenly, you know, clicks, especially the terms that they use. They're like the sublime degree.
Mm-hmm.
It all sounds very 18th century, but, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, it was a National Treasure thing. I was like, you know, that's really cool. And I had done a paper on the Templars in college where I read something that was by Freemasons talking about the Templars. And I was like, this is all so cool. So we are going to dive into that. And I want to start this off by, you know, setting the scene here for exactly when Freemasonry came to be. Because the Grand Lodge of England was founded in 1717. But that is not the oldest...
In London.
Lodge. It's the oldest one. It's the first Grand Lodge, the oldest Grand Lodge, but the oldest lodge that we know of was in I don't know how you pronounce it in English, but Musselburgh in Scotland.
Ah.
And that has minutes from 1598.
Oh my gosh.
And the oldest operating lodge in the world is from... Oh, hi, Jeep Medic. Thank you for becoming a supporter. I appreciate you. But, yeah, so the oldest lodge in the world is Musselburgh, but the oldest operating lodge, like, to this day, still holding meetings, is Edinburgh.
Really?
And it was, we have minutes, the earliest record we have of it is 1599.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
It is ancient. Like... This is over 400 years of history at this point. And interestingly enough, they didn't get in trouble until a very specific moment in the 1780s when a certain other group of people started using Masonic symbolism and started using the same degrees and names and terms. And that group is one that everyone is probably extremely familiar with in terms of conspiracy theories, which is the Illuminati.
Dun, dun, dun.
So we'll get into all of that.
We'll get Illuminati.
Oh, good God. Oh, there is an account on YouTube called Illuminati.
Oh, no, there isn't.
Yeah, there is. And she made a video about me, like, you know, calling me all sorts of names. Like, yeah, for talking about Wendigos and shit. Like, I was like, come on, man. You're out here with the username Illuminati, and you're coming after me.
Such a fun name wasted on such.
Yeah, there. It was terrible. Funny.
Hate to see it happen.
There were a lot of comments on that video that were along the lines of like, "I usually like your content, but this was a major miss." And I'm just sitting there like,
"The Lore Lodge stands."
Exactly. And that was like, this was probably August, September. So this was a while ago, you know. She was way ahead of where I am. I think she still is, actually, in terms of followers and whatnot. But yeah, so the earliest Masonic lodge is still operating is in Edinburgh, and the important thing to note there is that Scotland, for especially in that period of history, had not yet adopted Protestantism. Scotland was Catholic, so. There's a long tradition of the Catholics being anti-Freemason. So it's interesting to note that Freemasonry started, like, you know, in full in a Catholic area. But over time, it grew. It spread all throughout the UK. The Grand Lodge of England opened in 1717. And from there, it spread to the Americas. It spread to France. And there were some differences. French Freemasonry is not quite the same as English Freemasonry. There's German variants, but, you know, around 1776, in 1776, there was a particular issue, which was that a man by the name of, I believe, Weinhaupt in Bavaria decided he didn't really like what was going on with Freemasonry. He felt that it was too expensive and that he did not like, how they were opposed to speaking about religion or politics in the lodge. And so he decided, you know what, no, I want this to be a more active organization. Okay. And he went on to found the Bavarian Illuminati. And the term Illuminati is ancient, it goes back to Rome. And Illuminati is essentially this is one of those times when linguistics is interesting, because Illuminati is... point for point, by definition, the exact same as the word enlightened as a noun.
Okay.
So, enlightened is Germanic root. Illuminati is Latin root. They mean the same thing.
Enlightened. Yeah. Yeah. I get it. So, it makes sense.
So it's, and it rose out of the Enlightenment period. Like, there's nothing surprising here. Like, but everyone thinks that it's, when you say the Illuminati, you mean this one specific thing. No, there were various groups throughout history who called themselves Illuminati, just meaning enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
And
seeking the light, perhaps?
You might say they're seeking the light. It's almost like they got their name from Masonic ritual. But yeah, so there's a lot with that that can definitely be discussed. But I still want to stick with the early stuff here, because
mm-hmm.
another one of the Illuminati symbols that gets brought up a lot is the all-seeing eye, the eye of providence,
mm-hmm.
and that is a Masonic symbol, yes, but it was adopted by the Illuminati afterwards, if it ever was. We actually don't know, because there's no attested use of the all-seeing eye by the Illuminati. There is of the Freemasons. They adopted it in 1797. The United States adopted the all-seeing eye as an emblem and put it on the dollar in 1776. So the all-seeing eye was adopted as a symbol of the United States on July 4th, 1776.
First.
The day that the first draft of the Declaration was signed. Which, also, we celebrate July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the day that the Declaration of Independence was signed and ratified. That was, I think, August, 2nd. But I don't know why we do July 4th particularly.
It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
It's like Cinco de Mayo, 4th of July.
Exactly.
Something just, a something. No, it's a little something a yeah, something up in there. Yeah.
If you say anything in an Italian accent, it's just roll off the tongue.
It's true.
What can you really do with
it? We got that crazy special sauce.
Oh my God, the special sauce. Yeah, the gravy, as they call it in Philly.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's a South Philly special right there.
Oh, that is something I've had to explain to so many people. Like, why do they call it gravy? You're in Philadelphia. I don't understand. You're not going to. So, just on the list of topics I want to discuss as we're kind of going through this, some terminology that's important.
Mm-hmm.
The Masons, the Freemasons, grew out of operative masonry. And what operative masonry means is exactly that. It was actual stonemasons.
They were real masons.
Yes, they're the
that was their
so
job.
The story goes, the first Freemasons were actual stonemasons.
Okay.
And they started these lodges as part of their guild system,
mm-hmm.
Essentially to do Mason business. And sometime in the late 1500s, this switched over, became speculative masonry, as we call it. Which was people who weren't actually stonemasons joining these Masonic lodges for the discussion, for the social aspect,
for the chitter chatter.
Yeah, it was like joining a fraternity, and over time the ranks of speculative masons far outweighed the ranks of operative masons, and that's how you got the system we have. But that comes out of the medieval guild system, because when you would join a guild, you would start off as an apprentice, and over time you would work your way up under a master to become a journeyman. And a journeyman was essentially the middle grade here. You were authorized to work, but the guild set the prices. So this is why I think it's fun to talk about the history of capitalism, because people have no idea what life was like before capitalism. Your guild set the prices. It was kind of like a trade union, but worse.
Go on.
Yeah, and it's, what they would do was they would be like, all right, all the masons in the city can only charge this much, and you can't undercut each other. So it did a great job standardizing the quality of work,
mm-hmm.
but it also severely undermined people who were exceptionally talented.
Okay.
So if you were exceptionally talented as a journeyman, you had one option to raise yourself up, and that was to become a master.
Okay, that third level.
Exactly. So, interestingly, the earliest masons didn't have master masons. It was entered apprentice and fellowcraft. Fellowcraft literally just being an English version of journeyman.
Okay. So it's like you're learning how to do it, and then you can do it, and that's it.
And eventually, over time, they decided, you know what, we need a third rank. We need master masons. And they added that in. And so when you hear people talk about the degree system and masonry, what you're usually hearing about is craft masonry, which is the the first 3 degrees and what we call Blue Lodge, because the lodges are literally blue.
So creative.
Yeah, we're great about these things. So yeah, you got your Blue Lodge, and that's Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and Master. Master Mason is the highest rank in Freemasonry. Not just craft Freemasonry, Freemasonry in general.
Gotcha.
And everyone seems to think, judging by my TikTok comment sections, that I'm just a low-level Mason. I don't know what I'm talking about. Once I get up the ranks to 33rd degree, that's when I have to sacrifice my soul to Satan.
Oh.
I hate to tell everybody, but unless they chose to do it of their own volition, no Mason sacrificed their soul to Satan.
That's like being like cross-qualified, you know, in like Masonry and witchcraft.
Exactly, which I'm sure some people are, you know. I'm
sure it's like getting a dual degree, you know.
Yeah, double major. I'm majoring Jesus. That's how the first one started. They were double majoring in stonemasonry and philosophy, and they were like, yo, I could make a fraternity out of this. I was going to say a religion, but you can't. It's not a religion. Oh my gosh. But, you know, just, so that's the terminology that people need to know. Once you get past York Rite, you're getting into Scottish Rite, or not York, sorry, Craft Masonry. You get into York Rite and Scottish Rite. Those are separate, and the way it kind of works is they're almost more like merit badges in Scouts. Mm-hmm. You've got your 4th degree, 5th degree, 6th degree, 7th degree, 8th degree, on and on, up to 32. 33rd, a lot of people are like, 33rd degrees, you know, those are the evil ones. But in reality, that's an honorary degree that doesn't involve a lesson.
Okay.
Every single Masonic degree that you get involves a lesson that is being taught about morals, virtue, any of that. And in York Rite specifically, you do have to be a Christian. Craft Masonry, you don't have to be a Christian, you just have to believe in a supreme being. And Scottish Rite, I don't know nearly as much about because I simply have not tried. But, Kat, you could not become a Mason.
I could not become a normal Mason.
What kind of Mason could you be?
I could be a co-Mason.
And where'd that come from? I'm quizzing her on her research.
I believe it was in the 1700s. I know there was a French woman who was a very famous co-Mason, and I'm blanking on her name. But was it out of the French Masonic?
It was out of the French.
Yes! Yeah. It was the French.
Began in the 1890s with Les Droits Humains.
All right, 1890s. Yeah. But, you know, it was still pretty far back. It's not like this happened, you know, 10 years ago.
No.
Because Me Too happened, and then, you know, we had to create our own Masonry.
And I think you're thinking of Maria de Ramey.
Okay. Is she the...
She's one of the co-founders.
Co-founders of the Co-Masons.
Yes. So, the thing about Co-Masonry, it is not recognized by any Grand Lodge. And it's not because of the female aspect.
Why not?
Then, so...
If not the female aspect?
It is... Essentially, that they don't hold to the same moral framework. So the issue here is that in regular craft Freemasonry, you absolutely must believe in a supreme being. That can be Yahweh, that can be God, that can be Allah, that could be, in some cases, I've heard of people who are Norse pagans and get in. But French co-Masonry did not require belief in a supreme being. And still doesn't to this day. So, interestingly enough, it has nothing to do with the women aspect. It's entirely that disregard for a supreme being. Now, it could have something to do with the female aspect. I don't know. But, for example, in my lodge, as long as it's not, like, closed business of the lodge, which even if you're not a master mason, like if you're not a master mason, you're not allowed in the lodge for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain speaking events and whatnot that we'll do where you'll have an open meeting and women can come in and non-mason men can come in. And then of course there's Order of the Eastern Star, there's Job's Daughters, there's Rainbow Girls, all of these appendant orders. And then for kids there's the Order of Demolay. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on here, but I wanted to bring up Order of Demolay specifically because one of the themes of Freemasonry is that it ties back to the Knights Templar.
Mm-hmm.
And try as I might, as a historian, I cannot find the link. I know I'm supposed to uphold it as a Mason, but I cannot find the link. It seems to be purely symbolic.
I feel like most things in Masonry, in Freemasonry, are entirely symbolic.
And that's, it's a lot of symbolism.
The symbols run deep.
There's a lot of Bible symbolism, especially. Again, things I can't actually say, but it is inherently tied to the Bible. And I say I can't say it, but if you get yourself a copy of Duncan's Ritual of Freemasonry, you can actually read up on all of this yourself. It's all in there. Pretty much everything shy of Knights Templar as a rank is openly published, and you can get it on Amazon. But that stuff, not so much. But the Knights Templar aspect of it, I find fascinating. Because the Order of Demolay, Jacques Demolay, was the last Grand Master of the Templar Order. And the Templars, the way they did things, was they had your squires and your knights and your masters. And they also had sergeants and non-knight brothers who had different responsibilities. But amongst the warrior monks of the Templars, you had 3 degrees. Amongst the Stonemasons Guild, you had 3 degrees. And amongst Freemasons, you have 3 degrees. And you can trace that system back at least as far as the Crusades with the Knights Templar. And there's certain stuff that gets involved here, specifically with the Temple of Solomon. We trace back a whole bunch of stuff to the Temple of Solomon, down to like certain code phrases. And my version of this, what goes through my head when I think about what could have happened, how might we have gotten here, is that the Templars, when they got to Jerusalem, started doing excavations under the Temple Mount and found some stuff that might have been buried for a long time after the Jews were expelled from Jerusalem.
Ooh, hidden treasure.
Exactly.
National treasure.
Then they might have taken that after the fall of Acre in 1292. 1292, I think. They might have taken what they found, whether it be physical or knowledge or whatever, back to France with them. Mm-hmm. And then there's two possibilities after that, because in 1307, King Philip III of France declared the Templars to be heretics and blasphemers and had as many of them as he could tried. Now, only a few were ever actually executed.
Yikes.
Most of them were sent to become part of other orders. The Teutonic Order was still doing its thing in the East,
okay.
Killing all sorts of Lithuanians. Whole thing there. A lot of people are like, oh, the Crusades were just, technologically advanced white people beating up on brown people. Nope, they were beating up on less technologically advanced white people as well.
Just a whole lot of, like, bad stuff going on. Just a whole lot of bullying.
And they were doing it for the Lord.
In the name of the Lord.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's so interesting about that is that the Templar Order was officially extinguished by 1314 with the execution of Jacques Demolay. And there's a few questions. What happened here? Did they completely cease to exist? Did they go somewhere else? It seems like the latter is probably the truth, even though we don't have great historical evidence for it.
Deep underground.
Well, the thing is, if they had killed all the Templars, then you would be able to say, all right, well, we have no evidence that it continued. It's done. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. They only killed most of them. In France. There were Templars.
They only killed most of them.
In France.
Go on.
Anyway, the Templars in Germany were unaffected. The ones in Britain were unaffected. The ones in Spain were unaffected. And the ones in the East were unaffected. So the ones in Germany and the Slavic countries probably went and joined the Teutonic Order.
Okay.
Because they were basically doing the exact same thing the Templars were doing, just they were doing it in Lithuania. The Spanish ones were allowed to continue existing. There was a Templar order that existed in Iberia between Portugal and Spain that just kind of carried on as the Catholic Church's accepted version of it.
Okay.
And it lost all its teeth. The Knights Hospitaller eventually got shut up in Malta.
Interesting.
Which, you know, because the Ottomans just drove them out of everywhere they possibly could. But the Templars who remained, there's one spot where they just seem to completely disappear, and that is England and Scotland.
Hmm.
There's also suggestions that perhaps they escaped west, like all the way west,
to America. Out west.
And perhaps did, in fact, bury treasure deep beneath the ground somewhere in, you know, colonial America. There is no evidence of that whatsoever, unfortunately. It's a really cool story, but we would have found swords, armor, something.
Would we have?
Unless it's like national treasure, where it's down there and well hidden. But we don't have any structures from that early that are European in design. So we don't have any evidence. And Europeans pre-gunpowder seem to have a very, very hard time with America.
So, shockingly.
Yeah, they did not do a good job of not losing wars against the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So the Templars to America story, as exciting and enticing as it is, probably not true. But in the UK, the Templars, if we say the Freemasons and the Templars are directly connected, now there's only a 185 year gap between the first Freemason lodges,
mm-hmm,
and the fall of the Knights Templar. So that's a much more manageable historical mystery. You know, then you only have to examine that time period. And when you do, what you find is that there are significant numbers of Templar knights who just vanished, went into the woodwork. Could they have operated, continuing to do their work under different terms? Absolutely. What were the Templars known for? Protecting the Temple Mount and probably excavations within it. If the Templars were going to pick anything at all to base a new secret society on, it would probably have to do with the Temple of Solomon. And it would probably have to do with the people who built the Temple of Solomon. And so, there's no written evidence for it. But the only thing that makes sense when you look at it, if you're going to connect these two dots,
right,
is that the Templars who survived in Britain decided to keep up their traditions, keep up their rituals, keep up their philosophies, and go into something else where they would be able to be recognizable because they had the same profession and because they had the same symbolism. And that place is the Medieval Stonemasons Guild. And I think the possibility is there, to say the least. What do you think? Does that story make sense?
So
are there flaws in my logic?
So the first, let me make sure I'm getting the history right. The first Freemason Masonic temple that was not entirely operative, that we're tinging with secret society-ness,
mm-hmm,
that was in 1500.
1599.
The 1500s.
Yes.
Tail end of the 1500s.
Very late.
Very, pretty much 1600.
Yeah, pretty, like, much 1600.
Pretty much 1600.
Well, that's a big, the reason I even found that out, because I was always with the 1717 year.
Right.
And then somebody was like, wasn't King James a Freemason? And I went, what? And what I found was, it's possible that he flirted with it, or that he knew Masons, but there is no evidence, no written evidence, that he was ever inducted as a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
This would also be 100 years before the Grand Lodge of England opened,
mm-hmm,
so we don't know, but over here I have a King James Masonic Bible, which I will say, if King James was a Freemason, does explain a few of the, I'm not going to call them contradictions, but a few of the differences between the King James and the Catholic Bibles.
Interesting.
Because they very much center on certain symbolic things in terms of what changes are made. Though most of the changes that get talked about when people are like, the King James isn't a good Bible. No, they're like, it removed verses. It didn't. It just combined verses into one verse sometimes.
Mm.
So like,
you're being efficient with it.
Yeah, instead of Matthew 25:44, you'd have, it only goes to Matthew 25:43.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling numbers out of my ass right now. But point is, there's, you know, the changes aren't really changes.
They're not too dramatic.
Yeah.
They're more like edits.
It's editorial decisions.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yes, first Masonic lodge to open officially that was practicing speculative masonry rather than primarily operative masonry was 1599.
Okay. And the fall of the Knights Templar was?
1314.
It's a big time span to just be operative masons.
Five generations.
That's five generations of actual masonry. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of hard work.
It is a lot of hard work. Is that the hole that's being poked in?
No, I mean,
are
I think
you poking a hole that the people whose job was to not have wives or girlfriends and kill Saracens couldn't pick up a rock?
I'm sure they could pick up rocks. You know, I mean, goodness knows a lot of people do a lot of crazier things in the name of making a living, making a name for their family and in a new place, you know, especially in times of hardship.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see it. I just would expect you then to find some speculative elements and some symbology or, you know, symbolism and all that crazy stuff in the actual operative masonry guilds as well.
Mm-hmm.
And find evidence of that.
And that is where my expertise on the subject completely runs out and all of my questions begin.
All right.
Because I have no idea. I know that I've been told that there are continuations and symbols and things that have remained from that period of the Middle Ages all the way up through the modern day. And they're like, look at this. But the thing is, I haven't seen the evidence of it myself. And that's why I opened this entire section with, I can't find a legitimate historical link. So I have to go to like the fiction author side of me to be like, what would
right.
be a cool story?
What would be a cool story?
What would be the coolest way that this goes? And that was what I came up with, was like, you know, a few people meeting in the dark in secret and being like, we must preserve the rituals, but how? Well, nobody would think about the stonemasons.
It's a good story.
And then for like 400 years, people just blamed the Jews for everything. So,
no.
Like, maybe all the secrecy wasn't even necessary. They just had to divert.
They were thinking outside the box.
Yeah, but it's what's so interesting about this is that King Philip's motivations were very clear.
Mm-hmm.
He owed the Templars money. He did not want to give the Templars that money.
It always comes down to that, doesn't it?
And something clicked for him. He went, I owe them money. But they already have a lot of money. I could have their money if I set them on trial for blasphemy. Because the way that Inquisitions worked was that the Catholic Church would do the questioning, and they wouldn't torture anybody. The Catholic Church never killed or tortured anyone during the Inquisition.
Really?
Not once. But their secular partners just absolutely did horrible things. So the Catholics were able to wash their hands of it and be like, oh, well, I just asked the questions.
Gotcha.
Now, the sheriff may have put you on the rack and stretched you until your bones popped and you, you know, confessed to anything we said. And then we took all your property and gave it to the secular authorities. But we didn't hurt you. And that is, to this day, the Catholic Church's defense of the Spanish Inquisition. but Inquisitions existed much earlier than the Spanish one, which was 1478. I mean, you got the Albigensian Crusades in the 1200s, where you have one of the most badass but awful quotes I've ever heard, which is from one of the French commanders when they took one of the Cathar cities. One of his sergeants came to him and said, "How do we know who is Christian and who is Cathar? How do we know who to let live?" And the man said, "Kill them all. God will sort his own." Which, badass, but also not very chill. Not something Jesus would say.
No.
Jesus would probably be like, "Let them all live. God will sort his own." But French people doing bad things. Isn't that just a trend in history? France was a mistake, no just comment. Like Ohio.
No comment. Are we coming for Ohio now?
Coming for Ohio is just a facet of this show at this point. I'm not a big fan of Ohio.
Let's go after them.
It is flat Pennsylvania. There is nothing good about Ohio. There is a video on this channel where it is just straight up like me just slandering Ohio for 4 minutes straight, because it was part of a video about a town in Ohio. But I brought up the point about the Pope, because the Pope was the one who made all of this possible. It would take 400 years, for 450 years, for the Pope to do that again, when in, I believe, 1787, he excommunicated every Freemason. He said, "If you remain a Freemason, you are not allowed into heaven.
Get the heck out."
Now, the thing about Freemasonry at the time was that it was most prominent in England and the continental United States, so none of them really cared what the Pope had to say. In France, however, things had to change and evolve and adjust, and that is why French Freemasonry is so radically different in some ways from American and English Freemasonry.
Mm.
Now, the reason that the Pope came after the Freemasons was because a different secret society was causing problems, and that was the Bavarian Illuminati, who were founded in 1776, the same year that a much better organization was founded, that being the United States.
Hey, let's go!
Yeah. So, the Bavarian Illuminati were founded on the principle that the Masons actually were a very enlightened group of people who were not using their talents and gifts for the best, and that if they were to work together and take over and reset the world order, life would be better for everybody. The Masons pretty obviously were like, "That's a bad idea. How about none of that?" Especially because this is an organization where one of the core necessities of being a part of it was that you believe in a higher power. The Bavarian Illuminati wanted to eliminate the existence of the state, the church, religion as a whole. They were essentially complete humanists. They didn't want anything that was a higher power. They just wanted, I mean, you could almost call them like proto-communists, but they were worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the complete dissolution of all power structures not based inherently upon merit. And they saw themselves, of course, as the ones with the most merit. They were the most enlightened. So that didn't go well for them, because not only did the Freemasons push back aggressively and kick them out of all lodges and, you know, publicly denounce them, the Catholic Church also excommunicated them, and then the Duke of Bavaria, if I remember correctly his title, actually expelled them from Bavaria.
Wow.
So within the course,
they were causing so much ruckus. Everyone was like, "We gotta, you know," it just gave secret societies a bad name.
Exactly.
Altogether.
So
they ruined the fun for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And the systems they used to root out the Freemasons from Catholic countries mirrored almost exactly what they did with the Templars. It was accusations of heresy, of blasphemy, of, you know, usury, of sodomy. They threw the kitchen sink at them. They were like, And this is one of those times where I'm like, look, I understand if you're trying to hurt something, you know? If you're trying to trying to dissolve something you don't like, you will slander it. Mm-hmm. But you've got to do it within reason, you know? Like, you can't just be like...
If you don't like something, you can't be like, hey... No, we don't know what's going on behind those closed doors.
Hey, this person is abusing their partner and kicking puppies and eating caviar made from rare fish. Like, you can't hit them with everything. You got to, like, pick a couple of things and stick to them, you know? And so that's part of what happened with Freemasonry. The Catholic Church didn't really have much of an effect on it. The mm-hmm. Bavarian Illuminati were crushed. Mm-hmm. But the Freemasons, because they were so centered in non-Catholic regions, were able to come out of it okay for about 40 years. when a man by the name of William Morgan...
Oh, no.
...started causing problems for
not
everybody.
Billy Morgan.
So, William Morgan, one of my favorite people to get mentioned... Here's what I took down about him. So to preface this, William Morgan was a known liar. Like even before he
just all around like a scuzzy dude.
He was not a good dude.
He's got a gross mustache. I'm imagining he's got like shifty eyes. Kind of smells bad.
I can pull up a picture of William Morgan for you. Here we go.
I can't wait to.
Yeah. So.
Oh no!
Yeah, he was not a good looking dude. He had not four, not five, but six head. you guys can't see the picture, but this is a man who is balding and his glasses are up here.
First of all, he has glasses. Lame.
Yeah.
So, four eyes. Just kidding.
So I'm burying the lead a little bit here. She has glasses too. She's just not wearing them. Like,
I do.
She's like, I'm gonna look hot for the show. She told me earlier. She was like,
what did I say?
She was like, I did my makeup. No, you didn't say anything.
I wake up like this.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. I know what you look like without makeup. So. Anyway, to start this off, William Morgan.
William Morgan, gross dude.
Gross dude, known liar, married a 19-year-old when he was 40. And then proceeded to neglect them in favor of gambling, which he was not good at. Very bad at gambling.
Are
Lost
you saying
all
that it would
money.
Be okay if he was really good at gambling?
I mean, if he was really good at gambling, he might be able to provide a good life for his wife and kids, but he was bad at gambling.
No one's good at gambling. The house always wins.
What about the one dude... Dan Bilzerian, the guy who won a bunch of money playing poker on the internet, and now he has models all over him. He's the guy who had that TikTok sound where he said that he gets top tier pussy. Yeah, that guy.
That guy. Still gross, but
good at gambling. So anyway, he had two kids with her. They were neglected considerably. One of his most famous gaffes was that he told his buddies up in New York, he was born in Virginia, but he went and spent some time in New York, he told everybody that he received a battlefield commission elevating him to the rank of captain during the War of 1812 from Andrew Jackson himself.
Wow.
There is no record of that battlefield commission. In fact, there's no record that he ever served in the army at all. There are several William Morgans on the militia rolls from the War of 1812. They do not match his age. And not a single one of them was elevated to the rank of captain at any point. So there is no evidence that William Morgan ever served in the army. Following his not service in the army, he went north to New York and then even further north to Canada. His time in Canada, he... according to him, achieved the sublime degree, became a master mason, which really not a very hard process, but the thing about it is it's very, very well documented.
Okay.
Masons are painfully meticulous about notes. Like, I will tell you guys, if you've ever been like, oh, I'm going to sneak into a Masonic meeting, I bet it's going to be so exciting. No, it's not. You're going to sit there for up to 4 hours while you talk about the most mundane things possible. And I say that as somebody who does this of my own free will. It is mostly talk about budgeting. Lots of great charity work, but long meetings where not a ton of stuff gets said.
Gotcha.
So, did William Morgan become a Mason in Canada? There's no record of it. Not a single little bit of record. If he had become, at least, if he became a Master Mason, there should theoretically be not only the documents stating he was a Master Mason, mm-hmm. but also his the documents stating that he had paid his dues, that he had achieved the rank of Fellowcraft, and of Entered Apprentice. We have none of these.
Not a single one.
When he went back to New York and told them that he was actually a Master Mason, he then went, they let him in kind of cautiously. They were like, we don't really believe you, but we'll see how this goes. And then he went to a neighboring town and joined their Royal Arch Lodge, which is York Rite. I am a fourth degree Mark Master Mason in the York Rite. Again, not a very difficult process, just time consuming.
I really honestly didn't know what level you were in the
masonry. I want to be higher, but like, it's kind of, again, this is like, people are like, oh, Masons run the world. I'm like, we can't even organize a dinner. Like, you think that we're like, you know, orchestrating the war in Ukraine. Meanwhile, we're like, so are we doing that pancake breakfast on Sunday or nah? Like, that's literally how it goes. We actually have a really good worshipful master right now, though. He's very communicative. I'm very happy about it. And worshipful master does not mean we worship the master. It's just his title. He's worshipful. Like, he's full of worship.
He's not full being worshipped. Worship.
Yes.
And he is a master.
Yes. Which in York Rite, theoretically, you have to be a worshipful master before you can.
It makes sense. Like, etymology, like, why? Yeah. Like cheerful. You're a person that is full of cheer. You're not someone who gets cheered on.
Exactly. And you got to remember, all these terms are from the 1700s.
Oh, yeah.
Or earlier.
Maybe old.
So, like nobody would call anything Fellowcraft now. That's not a modern word.
No.
So, you know, back a lot of this terminology, people are like, oh my god, it's so secretive and satanic and blah, blah. No, it's just old. Like, you're talking about old words from an old time. It's like, read a King James Bible and you will understand everything about why Freemasonry sounds the way it does, because it's the same language. You know, it's a lot of these and thous and thys. And it's frustrating, but so Morgan joins a Royal Arch Lodge, says he obtained the 6 degrees that he needed to get to the rank of Royal Arch Mason. They believed him for some reason, and then everything went wrong when he tried to open a Royal Arch Lodge in Batavia, New York.
Okay, so wait a minute. This guy just catch me if you can his way through
yes.
a whole bunch of...
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. So, you're from New York. Do you know where Batavia is?
I do know where Batavia is.
So he tried
Batavia.
To, sure. Batavia. So he tried to start a Royal Arch Lodge there, which is York Rite, you know, degrees up through, I think, 6 or 7. And he needed the consent from the local craft lodge. Now, they had voted him out of the lodge.
Mm.
So what he did was he went and became a Royal Arch Mason somewhere else, and then tried to come back and assert himself over them. They didn't like that. So, the sheriff of the town was a Mason, and the governor of New York was a Mason, and basically everybody of importance was a Mason, and they kind of went, we've had enough of you, go away. Morgan went to a publisher and told them he wanted to write a book exposing Freemasonry.
A tell-all.
A tell-all. And they offered him $500,000.
That's like $5 billion in today's... What is that actually?
I don't even
Did you look
know.
It up?
I haven't even looked it up. It's obscene. Here, look it up on your phone while we All talk. Right. But so they offered him $500,000.
$500,000 in what year?
1820, I think. Now, part of the problem here is that Morgan, despite being offered all that money, managed to blow the advance immediately, gambling. and not finish the book in a reasonable amount of time, and get himself into debtor's prison. He was released from debtor's prison by his publishers, and then the Masons went to him and said, don't write the book. And he went, I'm going to write the book. And that's when things start to get a little bit hairy. This is when you can actually say that maybe there's something to those Masonic conspiracy theories, because every time William Morgan would get out of jail, somebody would come forward and have him charged with another debtor's crime. And this was completely believable and also possibly completely true. So William Morgan just got thrown in jail over and over again. And then finally, one night, so the story goes from the anti-Masons. So the story goes, William Morgan was bailed out of jail by his wife, put into the back of a carriage, and was never seen again in 1826. The Masons claim that they offered him $500 to leave the country and shut up.
This guy's getting offered a lot of money.
Yes. The anti-Masons claim that he was taken out onto the Niagara River and dumped overboard with a sack of rocks tied to him. I gotta be honest, I kind of side with the Masons on this one, just purely on the fact that Morgan was such a consistent liar. You know, and such a scumbag of a dude.
Yeah, just like take your $500 and get the hell out and never bother us again.
And the thing is, before this even, they've been like, look, we'll give you money, we'll give you a homestead up in Canada, your family can go there, just go away. And he wouldn't do it. But he also was never going to write the book. He was a con man. He was always trying to leverage himself
into
something else.
Writing books takes work.
So, for him, you know, he could leverage the book indefinitely. Mm-hmm. You can't leverage a homestead. Also, there was a good chance in his mind that if he went to the homestead, then Masons would come up and kill him. Which...
Masons don't kill.
We're not supposed to. I'm not saying it's impossible, but we're not supposed to, you know? So you understand the point. But yeah, so this is referred to as the Morgan Affair, and it's important because people who didn't like Freemasonry, primarily people who had to run against them for political office, because Freemasons are so good at networking, that it was very difficult to beat a Freemason who was running for office. There have been 10 U.S. presidents who were Freemasons, including George Washington, who before we get to the Q&A section, I will read you a couple of letters from him to a man asking him about Masonry and the Illuminati. But Morgan's disappearance led to the rise of the anti-Masonic movement in the United States, which actually built the first party to rival the Democrats prior to the Republicans, which was the anti-Masonic party, because so many Democrats were Masons.
It's funny.
So many Whigs were also Masons, mm-hmm. but the Democrats were, at the time, the dominant political party. So the anti-Masonic party was founded and actually won several elections. I don't think they ever put a president in office, but they did win several elections. They did, I believe, cause the Democrats to lose I don't think it was Lincoln. It was someone else that they split the vote and ended up... maybe it was Lincoln. I think it was Lincoln. I might be wrong about that, though. But I know they supported one of the Democratic candidates in 1860. Again, and as a result, the Masonic Democrat and the anti-Masonic Democrat ended up splitting the vote, and Lincoln had the plurality and ended up winning, which was not great for the Democrats at the time. Kind of led to a pretty major war.
There was that big war that happened.
Yes, there was that big war that happened, which is to this day shocking to me that it's not taught as, like, a war between Republicans and Democrats.
The War of Northern Aggression. Oh, I just have to. I can't help but do that accent. I love it.
I can't believe they call it that.
It's my favorite,
astonishing to me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we seceded and we shot artillery at your fort. You were the aggressor. If I have any viewers from the South, I don't dislike you. I just dislike your education system.
No, my elderly neighbor growing up, she was from the Carolinas, mm-hmm. And I love her like a grandmother, and yeah, she just had the best stories.
Also, did we find out how much money that was?
Did find out. According to officialdata.org, there is a negative 7.87 inflation rate to apply to the year of 1820. So $500,000 back then would be about $12 million today.
Sheesh.
Sheesh.
What I would do with $12 million. I don't know what I would do with $12 million. It's actually a lot of money. I have no clue how I would handle that much money in my bank account.
Buy a house?
What?
I said buy a house? Maybe just one house.
We know what you would do. buy a house. Probably also another car. Get Archie some friends.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, like more Archies.
An Archie posse. Oh my god. Oh, imagine a herd.
A herd of Archies.
Archies.
Oh, and, whew, man, there was even stuff I wanted to get to in this, but we'll have to hit it on our video on Satanism. It's coming up. what? Yeah, because Aleister Crowley. People will probably ask about it in the Q&A, so I'll probably have a chance to talk about it. All
right.
But I want to finish up the actual, talk session of the show by reading to you a letter from a G.W. Snyder to George Washington in...
from one G-dub to yes. another G-dub.
So, without further ado, sir, you will, I hope, not think it a presumption in a stranger whose name perhaps never reached your ears to address himself to you, the commanding general of a great nation. That's one sentence, by the way. I really hate 18th century documents. I am a German, born and liberally educated in the city of Heidelberg in the Palatinate of the Rhine. I came to this country in 1776 and felt soon after my arrival a close attachment to the liberty for which these Confederated States then struggled. So this entire section is essentially him being like, I really love the American ideals, which of course are Masonic ideals, because the people who founded the country were Masons.
Almost entirely, yeah.
So that's when, he says, I do heartily despise all the cavils of infidelity. Our present time, pregnant with the most shocking events and calamities, threatens ruin to our liberty and government. And then he goes on to say, it was some time since that a book fell into my hands entitled Proofs of a Conspiracy by John Robison, which gives a full account of a society of Freemasons that distinguishes itself by the name of Illuminati. So that's an important one here, because everyone's like, oh, the Freemasons are part of the Illuminati. Contemporary documents from the time that the Illuminati actually came to be say that it was a society of Freemasons distinguishing itself as the Illuminati. So it was not, it is the other way around. It is that the Freemasons existed first and the Illuminati sprouted out of them. So it distinguished itself by the name of Illuminati, whose plan is to overthrow all government and all religion, even natural, and who endeavor to eradicate every idea of a supreme being and distinguish man from beast by his shape only. A thought suggested itself to me that some of the lodges in the United States might have caught the infection and might cooperate with the Illuminati or the Jacobin Club in France. Once again, the French ruining everything. no Fauché comment. Is mentioned by Robeson as a zealous member, and who can doubt Genet and Adé? Have these not their confidants in this country? They use the same expressions and are generally men of no religion. Upon serious reflection, I was led to think that it might be within your power to prevent the horrid plan from corrupting the brethren of the English lodges over which you preside. The rest of this goes on to say, I'll send you the book and all that. And this is Washington's first response to the letter, because Washington thought this was a little sus. He was being careful. He wasn't sure. He was like, this could be a trap.
Yeah.
And he said, sir, many apologies are due to you for my not acknowledging the receipt of your obliging favor for the 22nd and not thanking you at an earlier period for the book you had the goodness to send me. Again, one sentence. I have heard much of the nefarious and dangerous plan and doctrines of the Illuminati, but never saw the book until you were pleased to send it to me. The same causes which have prevented my acknowledging the receipt of your letter have prevented my reading the book, hitherto namely the multiplicity of matters which pressed upon me before, and the debilitated state in which I was left after a severe fever had been removed, and which allows me to add a little more now than thanks for your kind wishes and favorable sentiments, except to correct an error you have run into of my presiding over the English lodges in this country. The fact is, I preside over none, nor have I been in one more than once or twice within the last 30 years. I believe, notwithstanding, that none of the lodges in this country are contaminated with the principles ascribed to the Society of the Illuminati.
Ooh.
That is a damning indictment of the Illuminati.
I just have to say, I love the fact that George Washington started off his letter with, like, sorry it took me a minute to get back to you, because that's how I start most of my text messages to people.
So you're George Washington is what you're saying.
Basically, I mean, it's nice that things, you know, carry through time. Hey, I know you sent me something to read, and also, like, you sent me this thing, like, note a while ago, and, yeah, I'm sorry, it's taking me this long to get back to you.
It's like, sorry, I was busy running.
That's like
running
all of my work emails.
So, just to kind of paraphrase this so people understand, what George was saying is that he has heard of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
He doesn't like them.
Right.
And also, he was not in charge of Freemasonry.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything about Freemasonry. He's like...
Oh, no, he was a Mason.
Yeah, but he said he's only been in a lodge, like, once or twice in the last 30 years.
Yeah, once...
There's no way, which, right? There's no way.
He had probably been more than that, but the point is, you gotta remember what was going on the last 30 years of his life at this point.
Was this towards the end?
Well, 1797, I believe, was when these letters were written. Okay. But I just want to pull up... Part of this Bible that I can show you is this wonderful illustration of our first president.
I love it.
Isn't that cool?
It's my favorite.
Isn't that nice? It says, the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. So
it's chock full of the symbols.
Oh, yeah, it's great. So Washington's response was essentially, yeah, the Illuminati, they're real. I don't like them. And I am confident that American Freemasonry... That's what they meant by English lodges, mm-hmm. rather. So York Rite Masonry, I should say specifically. He was saying that York Rite Masonry, as far as he knows, has not been contaminated by the Illuminati, which says one of two things. A, either he was not part of or was not in contact with Scottish Rite Freemasonry, mm-hmm. or that he couldn't confirm nor deny that Scottish Rite Freemasonry had a problem with the Illuminati.
Gotcha.
I don't think the Scottish Rite Masons have anything to do with the Illuminati, but interestingly enough, whenever people think that Freemasonry is somehow Satanist, they always talk about 33rd degrees, and that's Scottish Rite. So, like, you know, maybe they are onto something, but I will find that out. The main reason I intend to become a 32nd degree Mason is so that I can finally put all this to bed, which, of course, what does it matter? I'm going to... do it, I'm going to get there, and I'm going to say there's no Satanism, and people are going to be like, well, that's what you're supposed to say.
That would be probably what you're supposed to say. I mean,
yeah, I know.
Have you talked to any, you know, 32nd degree?
Mm-hmm.
And
almost everybody in my lodge is a 32nd degree.
Wow. And you ask them, is there Satanism?
Mm-hmm.
And they say no?
Yeah. I was like, is there a point here where I'm going to have to, like, renounce my religion and pledge allegiance to Lucifer? And they were like, no. Nah. Like, okay, cool. That's basically how the conversation went. And that was with the guy who's currently our worshipful master. So, Washington's second response to this letter.
Oh, he followed up.
He followed up.
He circled back.
He says, Reverend Sir, I have your favor of the 17th instant before me, and my only motive to trouble you with the receipt of this letter is to explain and correct a mistake which I perceive the hurry in which I am obliged often to write letters have led you into.
Oh.
Again, run on sentences. It was not my intention to doubt that the doctrines of the Illuminati and principles of Jacobism had not spread in the United States. On the contrary, no one is more fully satisfied of this fact than I am. The idea I meant to convey was that I did not believe that the lodges of Freemasons in this country had, as societies, endeavored to propagate the diabolical tenets of the first or the pernicious principles of the latter, if they are susceptible of separation. So the Illuminati and the Jacobites.
Mm-hmm.
That individuals of them may have done it, or that the founder or instrument employed to found the democratic societies in the United States may have had these objects and actually had a separation of the people from their government in view, is too evident to be questioned. My occupations are such that but little leisure is allowed me to read newspapers or books of any kind. The reading of letters and preparing answers absorb much of my time. So I think that one is more interesting than the first one. Because the first one, he's very dismissive. He's like, not a problem. Mm-hmm. The second one...
he's like, this could be... this. It is a problem.
Well, also, translating this into 21st century English, and what you get is, like, what conspiracy theorists sound like, which makes you wonder if they might be right. But I just find it, I find it very interesting because he's much less, he's still denying that it's like overtaken masonry in the United States, but he's much less certain about it. And he's, you know, he's basically acknowledging that there are bad actors.
Right. And that there are people. But he's still very anti-Illuminati.
Yes, very anti-Illuminati. So, the question then becomes, you know, well, you know, maybe in the years since the Illuminati became, you know, it, like, overtook the Masons. Mm-hmm. And the thing is,
put hold in there.
There is a specific time at which the Illuminati idea rose out of obscurity again. It was in the 1960s.
Really?
When a couple of jokesters decided they were going to write letters to the editor of Playboy magazine claiming to be Freemasons and exposing everything they knew about how the Masons were actually the Illuminati.
Playboy.
Yes, Playboy.
All right.
And how, you know, they were going to play this prank on the Masons, basically. Unfortunately, the prank went way too far, and now people believe that these letters they wrote and admitted to being a joke in the 1960s, they used that as evidence. So that's where a lot of the more pernicious myths of the day come from. But it is 8.05 p.m., and you all know what that means. It's Super Chat time.
Super Chats!
But really quickly, I'm going to go on YouTube myself and pull this guy over here.
What guy over where?
Where's the live stream? Where's the live stream? I'm trying to find it on YouTube. There it is.
Oh my gosh. Oh, the delay.
Yeah, there's a little bit of delay, but I want you to be able to see, like, you know, what's going on. All right. So, anyway.
New
donation goal. Send Aiden to France.
Yes.
New donation goal. Send Aiden to Ohio. I do want to thank Jeep Medic and Plaz for joining as members of the show. That's fantastic. I really appreciate it. I'm scrolling through. Freya Odin, your husband's a Freemason. Based on your username, I gotta ask, if you're still there, is your husband a Norse pagan? And if he is, I'm curious how he actually pulled it off. Because I've heard of it happening, but I've never, like, seen it in person. I've never met one in person. Let's see. Praise be the old gods.
They were talking about pagan.
Plaz says, Temple of Solomon is probably where all the alleged demon influence comes from. Ars Goetia is one of the more well-known books of demonology with alleged ties to Solomon. Yeah, Solomon's an interesting case because he was an idolater and he did worship Asherah and Chemosh and I think Baal. He raised monuments to all of them in the temple, which God was like, hey, can you not? And he was like, I'm gonna. And this is the wise one. Let's see. Plaz says that Batavia isn't too far from them.
Yo, upstate New York friends.
Becca said, a herd of dogs is my ultimate life goal. I believe that. Ratman said, I have the same birthday as Washington. Congratulations. Does the name Lore Lodge stem from Freemasonry? Yes, actually.
Does it really? Yeah. Does it really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember when I started... So the Lore Lodge thing comes out of when I first got my first few thousand followers on TikTok. I think I got to like 50,000. And my friends were like, oh, are you going to go out to LA and like join one of those TikToker houses? Like, making fun of me because it was only 50,000. It wasn't a ton of people. Like... But, you know, they were making fun of me for it, and I was like, I couldn't call it, like, I couldn't go to the Hype House. I'd have to, like, call it, like, I don't know, like, the Lore Lodge. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's directly tied, but I think the reason that the word lodge was in my mind is because I was actively becoming a Freemason at the time.
At the lodge.
Imaginary sent a super chat for $100 and didn't say anything. So thank you, Imaginary. I appreciate you. That's one of our Patreon subscribers.
Oh my goodness. Thank
I made
you.
A video for them. The Imaginary actually asked for a TikTok video on the Michigan Dog Man, which I did. But I have very fun news for you. On Saturday, it was supposed to be this past Saturday, but Tech Aiden had some stuff to do, so he wasn't able to get it finished. But this Saturday coming up, we will have probably a 20-25 minute video on the Michigan Dogman for you. So,
oh my gosh,
when our patrons suggest videos, they get videos. So thank you very much for the super chat. I very much appreciate you. I'm just waiting for more questions to roll in at this point. I would have expected that, like, knowing that we have the question and answer section of the show, there would have been more people who were like,
tell me your secrets.
Yeah. Oh, also,
tell me your secrets, secret man.
Also, I totally forgot to put it in the Discord that the show was going live, but at this point I would think my Discord would know what time the show is. I don't know, but, if nobody's asking questions, I guess I can, Oh, hi, Mom. Show Archie.
I think Archie left the room.
I do think he left the room.
Do you want me to go hunt him down? All right.
You Archie. Seem excited about this.
Archie, recovery duty. Archie! Come on in, good sir.
Oh, Freya says that her husband has Norse ancestry, but is not a pagan. Ancestry is traced back to King Ragnar. That's pretty cool. And he's a 32nd and will be a 33 this year. Wow. Congratulations to him on that, because that is not easy to do. Oak Island and the Freemasons. Oak Island is in the one with the really deep well they think there's treasure at the bottom of. If I'm thinking about the correct Oak Island, I'm going to... Oh, there's the boy.
We got the boy. Boy acquired.
I'm showing him, Mom. Jeez.
It's the delay.
Is that over there? Like, that's not where I need that to be. Okay, Oak Island. I just gotta make sure I'm thinking of the right thing. Yes, this is the island with the giant hole that nobody can get down to the bottom of. Aw, thank you, Mom. $50 to see Archie?
Wow.
That's, intense. Yeah, so the Oak Island thing, I very much want to go. That is my thought on it. Yeah, it's not a well, but it's a very deep hole in the ground.
Where is it?
All right, let me pull up the page I just closed so we can go over this. I mean, maybe this is something we can cover on the show. Oak Island. All right, Curse of Oak Island. If you want to hang out for a bit after the show, we can watch the History Channel episode on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oak Island is a 57-hectare privately owned island in Lunenburg County on the south shore of Nova Scotia, Canada. Tree-covered island is one of about 360 small islands in Mahone Bay and rises to a maximum of 11 meters above sea level, 200 meters offshore, and connected to the mainland by a causeway and a gate. The nearest community is the rural community of Western Shore, which faces the island, while the nearest village is Chester. The island is best known for various theories about possible buried treasure or historical artifacts and the associated exploration. Now, this is the one place that I can even theorize that Templar treasure could be. And I was going to actually mention it, and I forgot the name of the island until just now. But, if I remember correctly, the Oak Island Mystery. It had been a subject of treasure hunters since the late 1700s, with rumors that Captain Kidd's treasure was buried there. Little evidence support went on during the early excavations, but theories going through, like, Marie Antoinette's jewels, religious artifacts, manuscripts, And the treasure has also been prone to criticism by those who have dismissed search areas as natural phenomena. Now, I don't understand how you could refer to a shaft that is more than 100 feet deep and perfectly round as natural phenomena.
Stuff just happens sometimes.
Yeah, but it's known as the money pit.
Who calls it the money pit?
Everybody, I guess. But according to island lore, it first drew the attention of a local teenager in 1795 who noticed an indentation in the ground and with some friends started to dig, only to find a man-made shaft featuring wooden platforms every 10 feet down to the 90-foot level of depth. What does this sound a lot like to you?
That sounds just like that scene in National Treasure.
Exactly.
When they go down the rickety staircase and they have
horribly
to
misuse the term status quo.
And oh my gosh.
Such a good scene.
Can we do a National Treasure?
I will. National Treasure what?
What do you mean?
You said, can we do a national treasure?
Yeah. Like, no, I mean, like, go there and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, 100%. If I can get permission, absolutely. There's also a formation of boulders called Nolan's Cross, named after a former treasure hunter with a theory on it, and a triangle-shaped swamp.
Get out of me, swamp.
Yeah. So, okay, after rereading about this, we've gotta do a show on it. The series has documented finds such as centuries-old coins, an antique brooch, and a lead cross that was allegedly made between 1200 and 1600 AD. Interesting. Hmm. Very, very interesting. Clifford, my guy, even you watching the show is support enough for us. We appreciate everybody who views the show, whether they can donate or not. I want you to know that you're heard. I do genuinely appreciate it. I'm just glad you watch the show. Makes me happy to know that we're entertaining people. That's what really matters. Noah Lee, are there currently any famous Masons? Well, what do you define as famous? I am, I guess. But yes, I believe there's a number of them.
No.
Famous Freemasons 2021. So, famous Freemasons. Da, da, da. This is Ranker. So, Richard Pryor, Clark Gable. These are a little bit older, but Jesse Jackson, Franklin Roosevelt, Oscar Wilde, John Wayne, Teddy Roosevelt, Harry Houdini was a Mason, Mel Blanc, Charles Lindbergh, Voltaire.
Is Beyonce a Mason?
No, she's a woman. Thurgood Marshall was a Mason. Mozart was a Mason. Mark Twain was a Mason. Glenn Ford was a Mason. Will Rogers was a Mason.
Is Will Smith a Mason?
I don't know. Nat King Cole was a Mason. Duke Ellington was a Mason. George Wallace was a Mason. Wow, two very famous black guys and then a very badly famous white guy. MacArthur was a Mason. Sugar Ray was a Mason. Michael Richards is a Mason. John Philip Sousa was a Mason. Rudyard Kipling was a Mason. Actually, I've got some cool stories about Rudyard Kipling that I can tell you.
Like, personally?
No, but, yeah. Bob Feller, who is Benedict Arnold, John Hancock, Billy Wilder. There's evidence that Thomas Jefferson was an entered apprentice but never proceeded past that point.
That's still a Mason, right?
I think Dwayne Rock Johnson might be a Freemason.
Oh.
Shaq is a Mason.
Shaq is?
Yeah. I think recently.
Dang.
This is weird. I'm doing my job and Aiden's job at the same time. It's actually very difficult. Okay, well, Freemason Dwayne Wade sacrificing son for wealth. That's New York Daily News. That's fun. The Rock, Grand Masonic, Grand Lodge of Mississippi, free and accepted Masons. Interesting. Former NFLer Larry Johnson accuses Freemason Dwayne Wade of sacrificing his son to the doctrines of demons. Whoo! Oh, it's because Dwayne Wade's one of his children is identifying as gender non-binary, I think. So Freemasonry is actually has a weird stance on okay, so The Rock himself is not a Mason, but is he a Mason? No, this is just a weird, like, inspirational article. Yeah, but so Freemasonry in the United States does not accept trans men. But the UK, the Grand Lodge of England, I believe, has now written that it will accept people who were men when they joined, but they will not revoke someone's membership if they become a woman.
Hmm.
The United States has not adjudicated that, to my understanding. We also have far more lodges, Grand Lodges. We've got, like, Pennsylvania has its own. I think Maryland has its own. Certain parts of Texas has its own, like, it would be a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in the United States, I believe it would be, I don't want to use this term, but it would kind of be a don't ask, don't tell kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Where, like, if you didn't make a big deal of it, and you joined while presenting as male, you would probably be able to stay, but it would, I think you would face, it would be a lot more on a case-by-case basis if you were a trans man than a trans woman.
Gotcha.
Had that question a bunch of times. Plaz says, super chat reminder to check out Demon Gate High, a supernatural themed tabletop RPG. I think you and people who like your content will enjoy. I will absolutely write that down. That do you have a pen?
I don't. I asked for a pen before we
started.
Right,
you did ask for a pen. There's an entire pack of them over there somewhere. I think next to the Strong's Concordance.
Next to what?
Strong's Concordance. The Book of Enoch is on top of it.
Ah.
Wow, that is just a hell of a...
What?
Yeah, just underneath the Book of Enoch, next to Strong's Concordance. Go check that out. It's a money pit because all the money has been spent, but nothing found. Yeah, I agree. new donation goal. Send Aiden to Oak Island to make him do a Nick Cage impression. I will do that for free.
Yes!
Well, I need somebody to actually, you know, give me the money to get there.
The finance.
But, yeah,
Nova Scotia.
Finance the trip.
Yeah.
Nova Scotia can't be too expensive to get to. Let's see. So we'll watch that tonight. There's also a webcomic for Demon Gate High. I'll check it out.
Nice, nice, nice. Everything
Clifford Horn says you're awesome. Thank you, man. Noah said, TBH, I mostly asked hoping you'd say yourself. Kipper says, wish I could donate, but I do appreciate all the content you make. And I appreciate that you're watching it. You know, just as long as you're smashing the like button. Give us that those sweet, sweet algorithm points. Yo, what's the deal with Freemasons wanting to annihilate the Catholic Church? We don't. the worshipful master of my lodge when I joined was himself Catholic. We do not want to annihilate the Catholic Church. It's more the other way around. The Catholic Church for a long time would... had a practice of if you became a Freemason, you were automatically excommunicated. The Pope didn't even actually have to issue the letter.
Mm-hmm.
No bishop had to be involved. You just, like, if you became a Freemason, you were willfully being excommunicated.
Dang. Just auto like that.
To my understanding, the church has revoked that, and it is no longer an issue. They frown upon it, but they're not going to... you know, revoke your heaven card. you know, you're not losing your membership to the Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Make Archie howl. You realize that means I have to howl, right, Mom?
Archie.
All right, I'm going to pick the boy up.
Okay, pick the boy up.
Hang on. I have an idea of how we can do this without destroying the room. Ready? Come here, buddy. That was adorable.
There you go.
He did the little howl. There we go. That's... Majestic.
Oh my gosh.
You're gonna get some chewies later, aren't you? Yeah, I'm gonna give you a chewie. You already have one today, but you're gonna get more because you're a good boy. Yop down. Ah! Nah, there's nothing in Freemason doctrine that says that the Catholic Church is bad. Now, if you want the historian's perspective on is the Catholic Church bad, I will absolutely give it to you because I have opinions. yes, correct. No thoughts. No thoughts in Archie's brain. I gave him a bowl of food earlier, and it was ground beef and ground turkey with carrots and sweet potato, and dumped it into his food bowl, and I put the other food bowl down on top of something else, and I said, sit, and he sat while I poured it in, and then I put the other bowl up on a surface, and I said, okay, have at it, and Archie walked over to the empty bowl was above his head instead of the full bowl that was right in front of him.
Little guy.
Yeah, he's not the brightest bulb in the drawer. Oh my gosh. What a guy. What a little man. Becca says Solo says hi to Archie.
Such adorable. He is.
Make Archie howl. That is... My mom's probably having a wine night in Charleston right now and deciding she misses Archie. Everyone's going to go on trips lately but me.
Where do you want to go?
I don't know. I don't care. Last place I went was State College. Which, like, was fun, but... I don't know. Mm-hmm. I want to go somewhere cool. Mm-hmm. Want to go to Oak Island?
Okay, let's go to Oak Island.
You said you've been wanting to go on vacation. Do you want to go to Nova Scotia in March?
I'm like, I gotta go somewhere south. But honestly, if I go too far south, I will burn to a crisp.
Yeah, same.
This is... I mean, like, you on camera, you make me look tan, which is... shocking.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Because
in real life, that's not the case at all.
In real life, that's not the case. I think it's where we're sitting with the lights.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I'm grateful for it, because I don't look tan next to no one ever, but... Yeah, so I'm a little wary of going south of the Mason-Dixon line, but I don't want to go north because it'd be cold in March.
We can go west.
So cold. Go west.
To east, but I mean, to be fair, due east of here is Portugal. Lisbon? Sorry. Bisbon? It took you a minute that you got there. everyone in this town.
Go to Wisconsin. Oh, they do have cheese. I am a fan of cheese.
Cheese would be nice.
Cheese is nice.
I do like cheese. And Wisconsin... but to get to Wisconsin, you have to drive through...
Don't even say it.
Shout out to... Okay, Mom. Okay, would you recommend the Book of Enoch to someone raised Protestant interested in Christian mysticism? Absolutely. But... here, can I see my copy? Mm-hmm. Get this specific one. I'm going to try and order some copies of it wholesale and put them on the website. The reason I recommend this one is because the introduction and the preface are very good at explaining what the Book of Enoch is. Mm-hmm. And we did a video on Enoch, but I don't know how good it is as an intro from an academic perspective. Just make sure when you read it, understand that it is not scripture. And if you are... If you are reading it as a Christian, or a Jew, or a Muslim, when it contradicts the scripture, take the scripture over the Book of Enoch. Because the Book of Enoch is apocryphal. We only have the English version through the Ethiopic version of the Greek version. Mm-hmm. The Greek original version is lost to time. We don't have it. We only have the Ethiopic. And the English is translated from that. So... as a result, you have to understand that this is probably not the most accurate translation you can get. This would be like translating the Bible. This would be like taking a 15th century German Bible and translating it directly into English. Mm-hmm. Not even, because Ethiopic is nothing like Greek or English. So it be like taking a Korean Bible and translating it into English.
And
that's the only basis you have. Yeah, it's so. Somebody did say Book of Enoch audiobook when. I can make that a project. I can do a page or two each day. Ooh. I'll speak in a nice, low, sultry voice.
That radio voice?
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, I should have Aiden or Norman do it because they have better radio voices than I do. But. See, shout out to Debbie for watching the podcast for the first time. Hi, Debbie. I see you and my mom are having a great time down there.
Love that.
I'm jealous. Cheese and beer in Wisconsin.
Sold.
Kipper 1314 says you should try the trails in Algonquin or Bruce Peninsula. You're great and scenic. I believe you mentioned flesh pedestrians have been rumored there. I will absolutely check that out. I need to take, over the summer, I'm going to try and take a couple of long weekends. I'm in a weird spot because now I have money, but no time. I used to have time, but no money.
Right.
So, you know. But the nice thing is all of my actual bills are paid, so now I can use Lore Lodge money for Lore Lodge stuff instead of survival.
Like 3-day weekends.
Exactly. Let's see. Milspec Spartan says, Pike's Peak in Colorado had some interesting Wendigo stories associated with it, including one from a friend of Hammerson Peters. He has a video talking about it on his channel. I will check that out. I have heard some weird stuff from Colorado, specifically. Some weird stories, which is interesting, because Colorado is kind of straddling between Navajo and Algonquin. It's kind of in the middle of them. Neither one is totally, dominant there.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, they're kind of just... Like, I think it's the Pueblo Nations had Colorado for a while. But yeah, so I will definitely look into it. Mom, how many times do I have to welcome Deb to the podcast tonight? Like, I love my mother. If you enjoyed the show, you have heard a thank. She brought me into this world and made me start reading when I was like 2 months old, so... That's why I know most of the things I know. Becca says, and no Quaker liquor laws. That's a valid point. Pennsylvania. Nice. Pennsylvania, the land of many alcohol laws and no gun laws.
And no road maintenance.
Yes.
Whatsoever.
Yeah. You know, it's good that they picked one or the other with the alcohol or the gun laws, because I feel like if you had no gun laws and no alcohol laws, that could lead to some problems.
What would you even have?
Alcoholic weapons, I guess. I do think I want to start a...
I feel like Texas.
I want to start a cigar lounge called the ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Mm.
And you would do them in reverse order. You would not do the firearms at the end. But it would be a shooting range.
Oh, God.
That has a cigar lounge attached to it. And you go to the shooting range first. And then the cigar lounge.
You want to go to the cigar lounge first? And then shoot? And then have a drink at the end?
Well, the point is that you don't drink and then shoot. So I guess you could... I guess the cigars and the shooting are interchangeable. But the alcohol has to be...
Is it that nice, like, nicotine hit? Calm your shaky hands.
Oh, if you have shaky hands when you're shooting, you need more practice. Hi, hello, you're back.
Oh my gosh.
Is he visible? Yeah, he is. Okay.
Charleston, South Carolina has ghostly things.
It does. I'm planning to go down to Charleston for a little bit. I have some friends visit down there and, got ghost town stuff.
Nice.
The guy who got me into Freemasonry lives in Charleston. He goes to Charleston Law School.
Very nice.
And due to our Masonic Oaths of Obligation, he's actually required to let me stay with him, I think. So, Haha. Plas says I'd go to the ATF. I think we'd all go to the ATF. I think it would be a fun place.
It sounds pretty fun.
Up until the ATF raids the ATF. let's see. Kipper says also a fun drive-by place near me is called Mapleton Cheese Store and Taxidermy. Cheese Store and... I don't like that combo. That combination.
You know what's cute, though? I get the large animal taxidermy. I mean, gorgeous work. Phenomenal artistry. But the small animal taxidermy where they've got, like, the squirrels doing things.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very, very fun. Also definitely artistry, but, like...
Yeah.
It's a different level.
Oh. Hi.
But... And in those cases, I would just hope that the squirrels died of natural causes. Like, they died of old age, surrounded by their squirrely family, and were able to pass away in their sweet squirrely sleep.
You are such a girl. You are such a girl. Aren't you? You're making noise. All right, well, I'll give it a couple more minutes if any super chats roll in, but other than that, we might end the show on time for once, but yeah, we're If you got any more questions, feel free to send them in. But otherwise, I'm just going to scratch the dog. And he probably needs to go outside.
Aww.
Look at him. You want to come back up for the end of the show? Come on. Come on. Here we go. Yes, you'll go for it. He's so happy. So happy at all times. And he looks so white under these lights.
So pure.
Such a pure old boy. Yes. I love this dog.
He loves you.
Should bring the turtle sometime.
Lola.
Put her in a little dish.
Oh.
Sit her on the table.
I was going to say she'd love that. She would probably not enjoy that, but she might tolerate it.
They say let the boy speak. He doesn't want to speak. He's not saying anything. He's just sitting here.
So peaceful. Is masonry more religious or economic?
I wouldn't say it's really either. So I want to be very clear. Freemasonry is not a religion.
Right.
And
you're banned from talking about...
We are not allowed to discuss religion in the lodge.
Right.
Or politics. So it is not a religion. That said, lots of religious symbolism. I took all my oaths on a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, while it's not a religion, it does very heavily cling to religion.
Mm-hmm.
But in a positive way. It's not a proselytizing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what I compare it to, honestly, a lot of the times, it's a lot like Judaism. It's like secular Judaism.
It's a religion.
But the more like the community aspect of it. So if you read the Old Testament, there's the religious aspects, and then there's community aspects, and there's history aspects.
Okay.
Part of the reason that the Jews survived as long as they have is that they have become very good at protecting their own communities and helping one another, and all these very positive aspects of community that, like, you associate with, like, if you remember, I'm going to do the meme, I'm going to bring up Bowling Alone, if you remember that from your U.S. history course. But basically all the, you know, think 1950s, like how communities actually did things together.
Mm-hmm.
Like you went bowling and you went to the ice cream parlor and people, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have the internet, you went to the drive-in, like you did stuff together. It's kind of like that, but expand it to all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone in your lodge needs help with something, whether it's medical expenses or they lost their job or something like that.
They need a place to crash in Charleston.
Yeah, within the bounds of not putting yourself or your family at any detriment, you are obligated to help them.
Okay.
So if a fellow Mason came to me and said, I lost my job, I'm out all day searching for another one, you know, I know you work from home, could you watch my dog? Like, yes, automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's wife is sick and in the hospital. It would not even be a question. It's, as a group, who's cooking which night?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So as long as it's not at a detriment to others in the lodge, you are, not to others in the lodge, as long as it's not a detriment to yourself, you're obligated to help. So in that way, it's economic.
Mm-hmm.
And in the way of, it's a bunch of men who are all faithful coming together to help one another as men, it's religious, but it's not really centered around either one. It really is entirely about making your own community stronger and more resilient.
Gotcha.
Let's see what else we got. More philosophical, I guess. Yeah. No religion or politics. Freemasonry sounds kind of based. hey, Swamp Dweller. Hey, my guy. It's nice to see you here. I appreciate you hopping on the stream for a second. Hello, I am Shrekafarian. We pray to Shrek 2. DVD every third hour of the day. I love it. I respect it. If you believe, I think.
Would that qualify as a higher being? Higher power?
If you went in and you were dead serious about it, and you were like, I absolutely 100% believe that the universe was created by Shrek. and you believed it, you weren't just saying it for the meme, if you believed it, I think we'd let you in. Let's see. What are the belief parameters to be a Freemason? Do you have to believe in a higher being? Yes.
Well, for yours. For your
for flavor. For the ancient order of free and accepted Masons, yes.
And is that also the same for the free and accepted Masons?
Yes, right? There's it's all the same thing.
Okay.
There's ancient order of free and accepted Masons. Free and accepted Masons. Freemasons. Those terms are all synonymous.
Right.
Things like co-Masons and continental Freemasonry, those are different. And they're both basically French revolutionized Freemasonry. You know, in that, because the, and this is something I talk about when I talk about history of people and the history of like politics in the United States and Europe, is how people like to use the terms left and right and talk about how everything in the U.S. is right of Europe. And it's like, well, we're talking about different rights and lefts here. Like American right is like, you know, religious libertarian like ideals, and European right is like authoritarian and, you know, still and traditionalist, but not necessarily religious. Like
more monarchy.
Yeah. And, yeah. And French left, like the left comes out of like French Revolution ideals, like in the United States, it's entirely something else. Like, got to be very.
But it's funny, those French Revolution ideals, right? Fraternité,
égalité, liberté.
Yeah, that was originally a Mason phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun, very interesting.
They took all the good parts and then added their own whack stuff. Would you allow a member of the Knights Templar to join you guys? So, the Freemasons are the only organization in the world who has a legitimate claim to the title of Knights Templar. It is the oldest claim after the actual destruction of the Templar Order.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we've had Templars since the 1700s. So the only way to become a member of the Order of the Knights Templar without basically just yelling into the void that you are one is to become a Freemason. The Catholic Church hates that. But also, they kind of lost all claim to the Templars when they killed them.
Not all of them. Just most of them in France.
Yes. See, you listen. You heard me.
I do.
Hi. Yes, hello. Are you telling me you want to go outside? Okay. All right. Well, the dog must be taken care of. So thank you so much to everybody who stopped by. Really appreciate it. We'll have a video out on Saturday. We will have a video out on Tuesday. We should have a video out on Wednesday, but that'll just be audio. So we'll have an audio out on Wednesday. And starting next week, the Lore Lodge official podcast will be on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. instead of Mondays. Because if I'm being honest, two people working 40-hour-a-week jobs have a lot of difficulty having any energy on Monday night. So, you know, it used to be that since I was doing this full-time, I could kind of like, you know, whip Aiden up into some energetic nonsense for an hour and a half, but no longer.
You whip me up tonight. I work a full-time job.
Same. This is the coffee.
It was entirely the coffee.
All right. My mom asked, how do you demonstrate belief? I can't tell you. Bye, guys.